League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dana Holgerson is brought to you by Chastain Ford, by HR&P, and by Damaris Barbecue every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what an effort last week. Down 21 to nothing, the Cougs turned the tide and were a spot short of possibly beating the University of Texas at TDECU Stadium. Dana, welcome in. First of all, I thought that was the best crowd I've seen at TDECU. Before, after, since you've been here, that was the best atmosphere that I've seen at TDECU.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Big time event here on campus here at the University of Houston. A lot of eyes, a lot of people. It started with the Cougar Walk. We got there. That thing was popping. It was packed, and got our players excited, got them fired up about it. That's Power Five football right there. Now, been to all the Big 12 venues and know what these venues look like, and know what the University of Houston needs to look like, and that's what it is. So hopefully, a glimpse of what it's going to be, moving forward in the future. Still got a lot of work to do. Got a lot of building to do. Got a lot of recruiting to do. We got a lot of quality opponents coming. You get the University of Texas here that opened some people's eyes, and there was a lot of Longhorns here supporting their team as well. Hopefully just a little bit of a glimpse of what it could look like in the future moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They jump out 21 to nothing. You score the touchdown to make it 21-7. They faked the – what about the field goal fake, Dana? It seemed like that was a turning point in the game. Did you feel like that – it? Where did you feel the momentum change from 21-0?
Yeah, that was it. That first quarter was rough, man. We had them – I'd like to sit here and say we want them to go ahead and let's get them a 21-point lead and then relax, and then we can start playing ball for three quarters. That obviously wasn't the case. They completely dominated us for a quarter and a half. They're an outstanding football team. I tell you where it really showed up was, other than the play that you just mentioned right there, special teams, they dominated us. The field position battle was tough. We were three and out and on offense. We were, our defensive guys were on punt team and getting tired running down the field, chasing number one, the worthy kid who's an All-American receiver, punt returner, had a hard time getting to him and tackling him. You're right. It was that fake field goal. Don't know what my guy Banks was thinking. I think, we were rushing off from the field. We didn't rush at that particular one. They faked it. We rallied. We tackled it. Went down and scored, got a stop, and then got another score before halftime, and it was 21-14. They had all the momentum in the world for a quarter and a half. Really good team, really good players. Was playing really well. Was wearing us out. Didn't get a lot going. I was proud of our team for not panicking at that point. Just stay the course. Don't panic. We talk about that a lot. Got that field goal, got the scores. And then that little scene right there at halftime, crowd goes crazy. Our team had a lot of momentum. I knew we had a chance.
Yeah, it was completely changed. I mean, everything did. But defensively, you guys did a much better job after the first quarter. I mean, really kind of limited their big plays. You limited the running game. They had the kind of hit or miss success from a run standpoint. Once their backup quarterback came into the game, you never really let them – take command of the game with the running game, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I thought we did a good job with it. Really proud of Doug Belk and our defensive coaches. You know, we switched some things up defensively. We couldn't just play, you know, base four down front quarters coverage against these guys, which would put us in a lot of man coverage. We wouldn't be able to hold up outside. So we switched up and went to the old 3-3-5. We ran it at West Virginia forever. And, you know, just kept everything in front of us. I think it confused them. They didn't see that coming. Kept the ball in front of us, and we rallied. We tackled well. I was really proud of how we did that defensively. You know, there was a point in the fourth quarter, I was like, guys, we got a chance here, you know, because Urs got knocked out. David Ugwebu stuck him on a third down play, and, you know, he went to the tent and then went to the locker room. And then, you know, there is a point that before that last drive, you know, our number 93, Jamari Caldwell, who played an outstanding football game as a three technique, was just blowing things up. You know, got two sacks, was blowing things up. He went into a full body cramp. You know, he was out there, you know, laying down for 5 minutes or whatever it was. I mean, they brought the cart out and hauled him off. This dude couldn't move. He was just fully cramped up. Man, I think the whole crowd gave him a standing ovation. I think it was Houston people and Texas people that were giving him a standing ovation. One, because of how he played for Houston, and two, because UT didn't have to block him anymore. You know, and so then they got the running game going, and they drove right down and scored, went up 31-24. I knew at that point right there that we couldn't give them the ball back. You know, it wasn't about the passing game. They could just hand that thing off. That back is special, and their old line is big. And so I was like, all right, guys, let's go down and score and go for two and end this thing. And that's what we're going to do. I mean, we got the first down on the 8 yard line. It should be first and 8 on the 8. We got it twice, actually. On second down, we got it. And third down, we got it. Didn't get it on fourth down, but we had it on second and third down. And they would have moved the chains. We would have scored. We would have went for two, and we would have won 32-31.
So did you? Okay, so Gene Semko is the replay official up there. There was somebody on the field that was hurt. I saw you standing out there, and you're talking, and so they reviewed the play to see whether or not Stacy Snead had gotten there. Gene Semko is a Texas grad, and he's up there as the replay official, and he says no. Even if it's – even I don't know his integrity. I don't care. Just the picture of a guy that went to the University of Texas being – the replay official in a University of Texas football game, it just stinks of impropriety. Have you talked to the league? Have you talked to the Big 12 about this?
Yeah, I've had conversations with them and everything, and you know they're always gonna defend their referees and their process of how they go about things and all that. You know, the whole thing with the replay. I mean, you know, when do they stop it and when don't they stop it? It all comes down to, you know, how much time they have between plays. Okay, so due to what they said was due to the fact that they measured it, which I'm like, why are you measuring it? I mean, it's not even close. I mean, the spot is a yard off. You know, I mean, don't waste your time. But they measured it so they can look at it. And there is an injury out there which stopped play. So I'm talking to the umpire, and he's like, I'm talking to the replay guy, and he's looking at it. Confirmed. And so you didn't stop play. So now what happens when you stop play, which, you know, ironically enough, they stopped play when Manjack scored the touchdown, which he catches it and falls down in the end zone. Now, how they took a touchdown away from a kid that made a spectacular play, I don't know. But they stopped play. When they stopped play, that's when the umpire gets involved, and he's looking at the replay with the replay official, which gives another opinion. And then which my point is why not get the umpire involved, stop play, get the umpire involved, and make sure that the call is right. Stacy Snead's feet were all over the 8.5 yard line. So if his feet are all over the 8.5 yard line and the ball was forward, then the ball is over the 8.5 yard line. So I don't know. I don't understand why they didn't stop it. They said that they looked at it. They did look at it. And so you can say, well, why didn't you challenge it? Well, I could have called timeout, and they would have looked at it, but they've already confirmed it, so that wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah, they already did it.
Me a timeout. Yeah, right. They would have cost me a timeout.
So they already just, did it.
Get the second set of eyes involved is what my point is.
All right, now let's talk about, okay, so everybody looks at the Philadelphia Eagles and says, why doesn't everybody do this, right? They've converted 41 of 44 one-yard conversions. But listen, the next best in the NFL is 11 during that same time period. So not everybody has Jalen Hurts. Not everybody has that offensive line. Not everybody can do what they do. But after the man-jack play, you're in shotgun, and you're on the half-a-yard line, and you hand off, and Parker Jenkins loses 2 yards. So it's third down. I mean, it's goal to go at the 3, and you throw the pass. You get the touchdown. Beautiful. Awesome. But on that fourth down play, a lot of people are asking, why are you in a shotgun when you've got fourth and one? First of all, you're a shotgun team, right? Do you have any plays that he can go under center?
Well, yeah, we got plenty of plays that goes under center. We quarterback sneaked against Rice and got a touchdown because we felt like our inside people could handle their inside people. When your inside people you don't think can handle their inside people, then you're just wasting plays. Not everybody has Kelce as the center, you know, and Jalen Hurts masters it. It's what they do. They've got good at it. They've got plenty of reps. They're good at it. The University of Texas has All-American defensive tackles, right? And so that was a play that we weren't going to do. That was a good drawn-up play that we missed the block, and their D-tackle got pushed, and it forced our pulling guard to get, you know, too much depth, and it got blown up. It was something that we were very concerned with. I couldn't have been more upset when they didn't call that thing a touchdown. I mean, how are they going to take that touchdown away from Joseph Manjack? I mean, he landed on the goal line. Why would you stop play and review this? I mean, there's only one explanation. There's some sort of bias there. And so, I'm thankful that we got the touchdown on second down. It all depends on the center, you know, and Jack Freeman's a good center. We're proud of him. He's playing very well. He's a 6-year senior. He couldn't be playing better, but it's just like quarterback sneak's not his deal. When we had Cody Ressi 2 years ago, we quarterback sneaked against Texas Tech 6 times in the first half. I mean, it all depends on who the center is and who the quarterback is and what kind of confidence you got with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody thinks that just now, how come you don't do what Philadelphia does? And not everybody is Philadelphia, that's for sure. Not a moral victory, but Dana, it was really, really good, I thought, for the program. And, oh, by the way, I thought, you know, University of Texas could have dominated the stands, but it was University of Houston that actually did, and that was awesome. And I thought the University of Houston was shown in a great light on Saturday. So congratulations. I know it sucks. You lost. You're 3-4 now. You got to go to Kansas State. But
that sucker was competitive.
Was,
I mean, you
great.
Take out the first quarter, and it was like, I mean, Houston outplayed Texas.
They did. Houston outplayed them. So that was great. But there's no moral victories here still.
Hopefully a glimpse of what it's going to look like moving forward, I think, is the biggest point. You know, we got, you know, I was super proud of our crowd. I was super proud of our football team. I mean, it was a real Power 5 atmosphere and a real Power 5 football game, you know. So we just need to keep moving forward now. We need everybody's support. We need, everybody to understand that this thing is not going to, it's not going to happen overnight. It was a missed opportunity. We're all disappointed about it, but it was a great football game. And there's going to be a lot of great Power 5 football programs at TDECU Stadium here moving forward.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier. Kansas State just kicked TCU's ass. So, guess what? It just keeps on coming, and when you're playing Power 5 football. So, hey, good luck at Kansas.
It's what we all signed up for here. It's Big 12. We got to go to the defending Big 12 champs. They're playing as good as they did at any point last year. I mean, they're outstanding football teams, so it's what we signed up for. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. But I hope that the way you guys played against Texas gives your guys a lot of confidence that they can play with anybody after that. That's great stuff. Daniel, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. He's going to be in Edo tonight at his radio show, at Little Woodrow. So if you want to go and support the radio show and the Cougs, get on over there tonight, 7 o'clock. Hey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us.
All right, go Cougs.
All right, there's Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by
Brand New Luxury Apartments. If you're in the market, listen, Brand New Luxury Apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.